Want to pop in here for a couple minutes? I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Dave Wonstadt is going to join us, and Tony Wise is too.
Eric Williams from Central State. He was blocking guys this high, okay? Mm. But he tried to murder him, and that's what stood out. So I came back, and we did the evaluation. I was big into that, guys trying to murder guys. So I said on the report,
Not literally, to be clear.
Right.
He means it in football terms.
Yes.
We're with you, coach.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, thank you. Nobody has my email, so we're okay with that.
6 years here and 6 different quarterbacks starting. How's that sound?
Not good, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Stupid quarterbacks, am I right, coach?
Should have been a wishbone coach. Now I wouldn't have to worry about that.
Tony, when you come back, we need to talk about a television show called Tulsa King with Sylvester Stallone. You've watched it?
Of course I do.
I'm watching Chicago Fire last night. We get home from dinner, and I said, do you like this? And he says, I don't watch TV. He says, I don't watch anything except sports and movies.
He's into broadcast TV.
Well, I like Chicago. I was in Chicago Fire. I watch it. I'm loyal.
Oh, there's something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere.
Glasses up with Coach Wonstadt.
Dave is here in the building, and this is great.
It's not for me to drink with this damn. How come I don't have one of those microphones?
You want to switch?
No.
Here you go.
No, I don't. I got a long walk home. I'm good.
That's.
You know how this all started, right?
Tell him.
During the pandemic, okay, when nobody was in the office and everybody was home, I'm down in Naples, Florida. And I did the show at 4:00 here in the last 5 years. But it was 5:00 in Naples, right? Eastern time. And so we're doing it, and they started this Twitch stuff up. And Shane over there says, Coach, you have a drink in your hand. I said, hell yeah, I have a drink in my hand. It's 5:00 down here. And then all of a sudden I reached over and I took a puff of my cigar, and they said, are you smoking a cigar? I said, yes, I'm having a cigar and a drink. And so then we come back to Chicago, and it's 4:00, and then everybody's like calling in happy hour with Coach Wani. So here we are.
Here we are.
The rest is history.
A little Hogsworth today. Thanks to Shane for getting that for us.
I'll tell you what. Did anybody have that pizza and all the pasta in it?
Oh, La Villa.
Sammy, you guys, that was outstanding, okay? Sam and his son-in-law back there, I'll tell you what. That truly was, was fantastic.
Dave, you owned a restaurant in Naples for a while there.
I did.
And you told me that it wasn't very profitable, but you liked sitting there at 5:00, 6:00, 7:00, 8:00 most afternoons.
I did with a cigar and a drink.
Yeah,
not like this.
That's why people get in the restaurant business, isn't it? Just to have their own place.
Right. Exactly. I guess.
Yeah. You can move that out of the way.
This
got to
change.
Yeah, I know. We'll figure that out. We'll get you a
stick, Mike.
I need to hear what these guys have.
Here you go.
So we're good to go. No.
Dave, would you tell people the four Pennsylvanians?
I'm good. I don't need it.
The four Pennsylvanians who ended up together at Mike Ditka's place that you guys were all sitting around having a drink at I think it was 2 a.m. or something like that at Ditka's restaurant. Who were the four of you there?
I was coach. Give me a mic that's not done work.
You know what? There we go.
There you go.
Mike and I are from the same hometown. Okay, our dads worked in the same steel mills in Pittsburgh on the other side of the rivers. Mike went to Pitt. So Mike was the big guy in the neighborhood forever. And
And so now here we are in Chicago. Now I'm head coach of the Dolphins. And Mike lives in Naples in the offseason. Obviously, I'm down there. So Mike had a charity golf tournament. So I go out and play in it, and the tournament's over, and he says, hey, let's go have a drink in my bar. Now, he had a restaurant right there in Naples. So we walk in, and it's me, Marty Schottenheimer, another Pittsburgh guy, and Joe Namath, another Pittsburgh guy, and Coach Dick. We walk in, and trust me, there weren't many people in there, okay? This was not a restaurant that did very well. But Mike is only he can do it. He walks in, and he just says, everybody out. I'll take care of the bills. There's no bills. So, you know, the half a dozen people that were there, they get up and they head out, and he walks behind the bar, the guys, and he says, you're done too. You're paid for the night. I'm closing up. So the four of us get into a booth, me, Mike, Ditka, me, Mike, Joe Namath, and Marty, and we're just talking Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh stories till late in the morning. And it was just one of those, you know, no one took a picture. I don't, you know, but if someone should have, because it was a classic. And it, you know what the story was? It was all about how if we didn't play football, we would have all been working in the mills. We wouldn't have gotten out back in those times. That was kind of the way out, the expression, was sports and...
That's awesome.
And football.
That was the way out. And that has something to do with the work ethic of all those football players that came out of there, don't you think?
I do. And I also think that... I think it shows when you hear Coach talk about football... Like how grateful he is for football, like the way that he talks about it. I think that
you're right.
Would you agree, Coach? That there you're really grateful to the game for like what it did for you, the places that it took you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know it. You just said the work ethic, the commitment to something, the not. Gonna quit type attitude. I got to get this done somehow, some way, and I think that's because our alternative was go work in a steel mill, you know, and we all did that in the summer when we were going to college. So we had a taste of that, and it was tough. So yeah, it was good. It's good, and it's so good. I got five grandsons here, all played or are playing football. And there's so many life lessons that young people learn by the game of football in any sport, really. I mean, I got one that plays hockey, lacrosse. It doesn't matter. I mean, the team thing, being accountable, being on time, being coachable, having respect. You know, there's all those things that sooner or later you're going to have to deal with and use in life if you want to, you know, be successful.
Spiegelman Holmes here on 670 The Score. The coach is all set up now. The way he deserves with normal headphones.
I don't know why the hell they give me these headsets. I can hear you two guys right here.
I know, but we might play audio. You never know,
is
Coach.
Is anybody else going to talk to me?
Tanny, say something to him just so he knows that he can hear.
Tanny's in the back of the room now.
Oh, yeah, Tanny's here. All right, good.
Yeah, Tanny came. But that's Chris Tannehill. That is the best producer in the game.
Oh, there we go.
Right there.
So we are unsupervised right now? That's horrifying. What could possibly happen?
And Tanny, don't. Remind me where you at. Remind me when. Don't let me sneak out of here. My good friends from La Villa, right?
Yeah.
Where you got the food in there? They gave me a couple bottles of bourbon. I set them on Tanny's desk. Don't you push me out the back door?
Those are already gone, Coach.
Coach, you talked about it being in Dick's bar with a bunch of people, and I know that, like, for those of you who don't know, for the folks that are here, and if you're listening in your car at your desk. This is a legendary storyteller, and some of the places that he's been and some of the people that he's talked to is really amazing. What about Jimmy's boat? Let's talk about the people that and the conversations.
If
that
I tell you those stories, I'd have to kill you, Lance. What goes on Jimmy's boat stays on Jimmy's boat. No, you know what? I was telling somebody, where was I at? I was someplace earlier. And the guy said, Coach, what time do you get up in the morning? I said, I'm up by 5:30 or so. And he says, 5:30? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, God, yeah. And I said, well, don't ever go down to the Keys with me and stay at Jimmy's because at 4:30, He's throwing stones up at the window. He has a guest house when I get on there, and he's literally throwing stones up, banging them off the window. You know, I said, "What? What's up?" And he says, "Come on, let's go. We got to get out on the water before the sun comes up." Mm-hmm. He does that almost every morning.
Is that how he was as a coach, too? Was he up early?
He was early, you know, but I don't know that early, you know. But, yeah, it's so, yeah, but we'll get Jimmy on the show. No, we won't. No, we won't get him on.
You give him to the morning show.
He won't do it. Yeah, by this time of day, he says, "I've got no interest in talking football in the afternoon." So forget you. We get Bradshaw. Terry texted me this morning. I'll show you the text. He texted me this morning. We were talking about Caleb and stuff. And then he says, "When you want me on that show?" Now, Terry is with the afternoon crew.
Uh-huh.
You got to figure how this works. Jimmy, morning, gone.
I thought you were giving us Troy. I thought you said Troy was going to ship a pallet of beer.
Troy's coming whenever we have the Monday night game. Troy says, "Call me before that."
November 18th, I think.
Is that when it is?
Or 11th?
Yeah, we'll get Troy on.
All right, we'll see.
I just got to decide. I'm going to give him the option: morning or afternoon.
No, you won't. Shut up,
What's
Coach.
Happening? If they get Jimmy, we're giving him an option. Troy. Wait, we get Troy, and I think we should be owed somebody else. We did get Tony Wise. We get Troy and Tony, and they get Jimmy.
You get Terry.
We get Terry, too.
I think we win if we get Terry.
I think we win
the trade if we get Terry. I'm not kidding. I think they can have Aikman.
That's a good call.
And Jimmy. I want Bradshaw.
That's a good call. Coach, I was talking to somebody around the league who knows Dan Quinn real well, and he described Dan Quinn, the coach of the Commanders, as somebody who can effectively make players willing to check their ego. He gets them all willing to check their ego. He lets his coordinators coach, but he's the guy who has built a culture, built a thing, and he gets players to not make it about them. And I wondered how important that is as a head coach.
Say the beginning of that again. I'm sorry, I was reading my text.
You're good. We're live on the radio, but you know, it's your world.
No, wait. Uh-huh. Who was the text from?
No, it was actually from my daughter.
Okay. Because look, that's very important. I've done TV shows with Dave, mm-hmm. where Dave is coming back in. I'll be like,
"Yeah,
what were you doing?" "Oh, I was." Me and Jimmy were talking about something. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And then he'd come back and break down Bears tape. So you never know who he might have texted with.
It's really this. There's a great moment in the Sinatra Live, Sinatra at the Sands, where he looks up at the crowd and he's like, "How did all these people get in my room?" Like everybody was just lucky to be living in Frank's orbit. That's like us with Dan.
That's why we adore him.
Yeah, I agree.
Finish your story. Dan Quinn. I want to hear what
Sorry, Coach.
Something about checking egos or what?
Yeah. Right. So a league source told me that Dan Quinn's really good at getting guys to check their egos, getting guys to not make it about them. And he lets the coordinators coach, but he's real good at building a culture and getting guys to check their egos. Does that make sense in terms of what that job? How important is that for the head coach to do? You've been that job.
Yeah, everybody obviously handles it differently. You got to handle it with your personality. But I could see that with Dan. Talking to the guys at Dallas, you know, when he was down there as a coordinator, I mean, they love playing for him. And, you know, and yeah, Jaden Daniels is having a great year. But Washington's team, when you compare their team top to bottom to the Bears, they've got a good team, but they're playing a lot better than probably anybody thought they would, not just besides the quarterback. So I'm going to give Dan Quinn some credit for that. You know, he's done a great job of getting the most out of that football team to this point.
What are they good at? What's that football team good at?
Well, they lead the National Football League in the most points scored. They got a rookie quarterback that's completing 75% of his passes. He's thrown 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That's pretty damn good.
They're also running the ball effectively.
They're balanced. They're running the ball. Defensively, they've been kind of average in the middle of the pack. They just find ways to win as a team. You know, they're very efficient. If you let them get in the red zone, they've been very efficient at getting touchdowns down there. So it'll be a good. I don't know if Daniels is going to play or not. You know, it was reported today he's going to practice a little bit Friday, maybe. But the thing is, the guy's going to take his place, Marcus Mariota. I was doing Fox College Football when he came out of Oregon, and they went to the College Football World Playoff at that time. He won the Heisman, you know, all that stuff. But the offense they ran, okay, with Mark Helfley, which was his coach's name, was just what they're doing now. It was a run-pass option. So a lot of backup quarterbacks generally, you know, and the guy might be a better runner or a better thrower, so you got to tweak the offense if a starter gets hurt. They don't have to at Washington. The plays will be the plays, runs. The passes will be the passes. You know, obviously he's not the athlete today because he's older and so forth that Daniels is. But as far as their offense and what they want to do, I think you saw that last week when Daniels got hurt. They scored 40 points after he was out of the game mm-hmm. with Mariota at quarterback. So, you know, they're going to run their offense. And Cliff Kingsbury, their offense coordinator, does a nice job.
He's done a nice job so far, and them getting Daniels up to speed has been really incredible. It's been a theme on the show today, Coach. We've talked a lot about how this feels like a big game. Like, it feels like we're getting ready. It well, great. This is the point of view that we need. Does it feel like a big game to you?
No.
Why not?
It would have been, I think, if the two quarterbacks were going to face off. That's why it got flexed. But the reality is Washington's 5-2, right? The Bears are 4-2. Right now, I think that Dan Quinn's sitting there saying, we got a chance to make noise in our division.
We can win it.
We could win it. I want him 100% next week and the week after when we play the Giants and we play the Cowboys. So this is a big game for us. And the Bears right now, yeah, the Bears, the difference is Washington has they got a weak division, and they got a nice 5-win lead at this point. Not lead, but a 5 wins in their bank. The Bears, the difference, the Bears need to win these next 3 games, and we need to bank these 3 wins because starting November 19th when we play Green Bay, we get into our division grinder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Minnesota, then it's Detroit, and then Green Bay. Here we go.
6 out of the last 8 games are in the your division games.
And then we got San Francisco and Seattle thrown in there, which are both, you know, probably playoff teams. So,
by the way, Coach, this weekend, the rest of the NFC North,
yep.
The Lions are at home against the Titans. The Packers are at Jacksonville.
Yep.
And the Vikings are at the Rams. So that's 3 winnable games for the other teams that are ahead of the Bears.
It's interesting to look at their Commanders' schedule like you're talking about, Coach. They got this Bears game here. Then to your point, after that, 3 of their next 4 division games where they're at the Giants, they got the Steelers at home, then they're at the Eagles, and they have the Cowboys at home. So if you're Dan Quinn, you say week to week on the injury, and maybe you want to be extra safe with Jaden Daniels, because even if you were to lose this one, it's an NFC game that could play part of the tiebreaker, but losing this one wouldn't affect your division dreams.
No. And that's where his focus is. That's where it should be. So, the answer to your question, Lawrence, is it a big game? Sure, every game's a big game because we only got 17 of them, but...
Feels big for us, though. Feels big for the Bears.
It's big for the Bears because we got flexed, which means the NFL's given the Bears respect, we're winning games. We want to see if Caleb can keep it going. I mean, I don't know what else there is.
It's a football coach's mentality. We started the show with, like, this feels big. It feels sort of playoffy because the NFC matters, and we're all getting hyped, and he's the coach going, it's just a game, boys.
Well,
I mean, it's the game on your schedule.
Correct. That's how I would put it.
Yeah. Well, he's got some games on his schedule. Coach is going to give you his picks. We're going to take a quick timeout. Dave Wannstedt is here. He's going to stick around for another segment. It's the Spiegel at Home Show with Coach here on The Score. We are here inside of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. Dave Wannstedt, our weekly guest. Coach, how's that drink?
You know what? Lawrence, Spiegs, Hogsworth. Look at this. I'll tell you what. I am just... Luckily, the cocktail is outstanding. The only thing missing is the live pig. Shane showed me pictures. That's not doing me any good. Did you guys see it?
What was it? No. They got here right after the pig left.
Oh, okay. All right.
But Hogsworth, they
took... Hogsworth. Oh, outstanding. No, it's smooth. I used to drink Bradshaw bourbon, but he lost his bourbon company. So, you know what? This is it now. I'm a Hogsworth bourbon guy. Here we go.
Look at that. That's outstanding. Yeah, the only reason that Terry, your dear friend, lost his bourbon deal was that it was terrible. I think that was the only reason.
Coach, it was 104 proof.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Does that make it good?
Yeah, the average. I don't know what this is. The average bourbon's in the 80s. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, that's a puts you on your behind.
Yeah, that's level proof. 46.9%. So that's what, 93 or so, something
is
that, like
is that.
That.
What it is? Okay, there you go.
That's 93.8. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Coach. It's did you know that since the Montez Sweat trade,
yep,
the Bears have the second best defense in terms of scoring in the NFL.
Wow.
And the Commanders have the worst defense in terms of scoring in the NFL.
Right?
That is correct. Now, they also traded Chase Young.
Yep.
They pivoted. But, you know, there's some times where it feels like, boy, Montez is not really making some of the impact plays. But, you know, can you speak to his overall effect here as he goes back home or back to the team that drafted him?
Yeah, you know, the guy plays so hard. You know, for a guy that's of his stature, you know, that was always a challenge, is to get your best players to not just play at a high level, but give the effort and set the example for the other guys. And when you can put the film on and you can watch Montez Sweat chasing the ball and running past other guys, it's real easy to coach and say, hey, here's the best player on our defense, and look what he's doing, and look what you're doing. So I think he brings a lot of those type of things. You know, he makes guys around him better just because of his attitude and his hustle and his effort. And I think you're seeing that. You know, I mean, Dexter's playing better up front. You know, and they added Ryan Poles, give him some credit. They added the Taylor guy, a pass rusher, the Williams guy, another defensive lineman. Now they got a nice way to rotate guys, keep guys fresh, what you want. So it's good. They settled the offensive line. You know, we didn't know who was going to be the center. Was it going to be Bates? Was it going to be Shelton? You know, Shelton now obviously was the last four or five, well, since the beginning of the season, but he's calmed down. And then, you know, obviously Nate Davis isn't in there at guard. Now Pryor's the guard. That's been the last two or three weeks. They've gotten better there. So they've kind of settled down their offensive line, got a nice rotation with the defensive line. And, and I think Caleb there, and I'm going to give Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, a little bit of credit, because I think now he knows who can do what on offense. And that's such a key. You know, you don't want to – there were some linebackers that I would coach that were great blitzers. They could just avoid that back, trying to block them and dip and turn and get to the quarterback. And other linebackers that were great players would run right down the middle of them and get blocked. And I think it's the same thing on offense, you know, as far as
– Urlacher.
Yeah, Urlacher. And
he wasn't a great blitzer.
Like DeAndre Swift, you know, from day one and to right now, I don't think he's an inside runner. I don't think the guys – I think if you ran the same play, handed the ball off to Rashawn Johnson between the tackles and Swift, Rashawn's going to make two more yards. It's just how I see it.
But he's not going to break it outside and get you 20.
No, but he's good, better catching. He's better on the screens. Have you noticed the last 2 weeks? Most of his runs have been outside perimeter runs, and that's smart. So Shane Waldron's kind of figured it out, I think, a little bit. Who can do what the best? And but that's just going to help the offense and help the team.
You know, I'm a bit of a worrier, so. There's a couple things I'm worried about in this particular game, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I think Kyler Gordon's really good, and I think that he can do everything that they expected and more. He's a sure tackler. He can handle the guy that's in the slot. If you wanted to move him out there, you could. Mm. He's a good blitzer. He might not be available for this game, and neither might Jaquan Brisker. Does that worry you at all going up against this Washington offense?
Brisker doesn't, but the most valuable guy, important guy on the defense is Gordon.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you why. It used to be that nickelback, okay, who when a team goes three wide receivers or four wide receivers, the nickelback ends up on the slot. You got your two corners outside. He's always going to be inside. One, he's got to be able to play the run if they run it. Two, he's got to be able to cover a wide receiver, so you just can't. Back in the day, we used to use safeties, but then they were good against the run, but they weren't good against coverage. But Matt Eberflus's defense, the best thing Flus does, and I've sat in his office and we've talked football, is when that guy goes in motion, let's just say. In the old days, as soon as he went in motion, the quarterback knew they're in man coverage because this cat is running with this cat. And so we know what the coverage is. Everybody's got a guy. Well, the way they do it, the Bears, that guy can go in motion, and Kyler Gordon will go in motion with him. But they not only will be going to zone, they could check it, and they could go from a three-deep zone to a two-deep zone to a four. He's so sharp that they can change the coverage when he's on the move, and he knows, do I drop in the curl? Do I drop in the flat? You know, and there might be a blitz. Am I blitzing on this motion? So, you know, he's the most valuable guy in that defense as far as knowledge. If he's not in there, can the backup guys do it? Sure. But all of a sudden, it probably takes the game plan and probably cuts it in half.
Wow. So Josh Blackwell filling in seems to have done a nice job.
Oh, great job.
But if you're Eric Washington and you're Flus, you're simplifying what you do?
Because in practice, they don't practice long like they used to. Let's say they get 20 plays. The starters will get 15 of those. And the backups might get five. Mm-hmm. So your man Blackwell, he's getting five reps in practice, you know, if he's not the starter.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's got to start and he just hasn't had to work.
Wow. Hey, Coach, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen both have some wide receiver in them. You know, they got just a touch of what Michael Irvin had more than anybody. Like that, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. Hey, I'm right here. You know, you better give me the ball. It's like, and you need to have it. Those guys, I think they need to have it to function, a lot of them. But anything in their actions or words problematic to you so far this year?
No, winning takes care of that. As long as you're winning, you know, guys will say, okay, that's fine, he got the ball. But you lose a game or two, and then they all want the ball. But, you know, you mentioned DJ Moore. He's from Maryland. This is a big homecoming. You know, I've been in Caleb's high school before. I recruited kids when I was at Pitt out of Gonzaga High School. It's right there at the train station in D.C.
Huh.
Right across the street, Coach. And so he's, you know, you got Caleb going home. You got Sweat returning back. You got DJ right there, played at Maryland.
And had his, like, biggest receiving game against those guys last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of that stuff. That'll help the Bears, too. That'll, you know, because these guys are going to be excited about playing. And that's your leaders. I mean, we're talking about the leaders on our football team. And it's funny, you talk about Michael Irvin wanting the ball. Reminds me of a story. So, we're playing San Francisco in the NFC Championship game, right? Winner goes to the Super Bowl. And we were 10-point underdogs. We're playing them out there at Old Candlestick. And we're backed up. We're like on a 10-yard line. You may have seen this when they replay the game on
NFL Network.
NFL Network or one of those. And so they came into the huddle, and the play was a quick out to Michael played the X receiver. And Alvin Harper, who was a rookie from Tennessee, played the slot. So the play was like X post or whatever it was to the slot. So Michael comes into the huddle and he says, rookie, you go play the X. I'm taking this. Okay, this is in the middle of the game. So we break the huddle and we're all looking and Michael lines up as the slot receiver. Well, guess what? San Francisco had a blitz call and they were going to blitz from the weak side. And if that corner blitzed, it was what we call a sight adjust. There's no audible. He starts blitzing. Our quarterback, Troy Aikman, has to see the blitzer coming. Michael, whoever that X receiver is, Michael has to see that the corner goes, boom, I'm hot. I make a quick three-step break to the inside. Troy's got to register. Bam, here he comes in my face. He's unblocked. Quick slant, Michael will be there. Well, guess what? Michael wasn't there. Michael was on the other side, expecting to play where Harper was. So who's the X receiver? Harper. And Troy hits him. I think he stuck the ball in his rib cage. He threw that thing so hard, and Harper catches it. And if you remember the game or the play, he goes 75 yards down to about the 10-yard line. And then we go in and score and take the lead, and here we go. But think about that. I mean, you know, Michael says, hey, rookie, I'm taking this. And then all of a sudden, it's to him.
And Michael's all pissed off that he missed his moment.
That's right.
Coach, you got some picks for us this week?
I do. Let me find them right here.
I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wannstedt.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
Okay, I'm going to start off. The Falcons got whipped last week by Seattle. That shocked me, and I know it shocked the Falcons. I think the Falcons beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's top two receivers are out. I like the Falcons. I'm taking the Eagles. Cincinnati, they're going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's desperate, but I think the Eagles, their defense is coming on right now, and hey, they figured out the identity. The identity is Saquon Barkley, and go from there. I'm taking the Bears, okay?
Hey!
And my last pick, I'm probably the only one that will take this. I might be by myself, Streets. I'm taking the Cowboys to beat the 49ers. That's kind of my upset pick. And so that's it.
That was the Four Winds Forecast. Every week with Dave Wannstedt. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Our segment with Dave Wannstedt is brought to you by Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. And we've got a $200 gift card to caller 6 to the contest line, which is 312-540-0670. That's 312-540-0670.
Coach, I ride with you. I just placed that bet of that 14 parlay. Let's go.
Did you?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, and I picked those picks before I get into the Hawks. So just in case anybody wants to know.
We always know that your picks are legit.
Legit.
Yeah, the
best. You're breaking it all down.
Take Pitt tonight.
Pitt tonight?
Nah, I didn't bet. That's all my alma mater. They're playing Syracuse tonight. Six and a half. That number makes me nervous,
Well,
but
sure.
I like Pitt to win, but I don't like the points.
Yeah, they never should have got rid of you.
I wouldn't be here with you.
Oh, I'm glad they got rid of you. Coach Dave Wannstedt, everybody. The best.
He is absolutely the best. We love having him here, and we love that he got some great, great bourbon. He's going to walk home safely and all that good stuff. We need to take one more time out. When we come back, we got a bag from a listener.
What's in the bag?
What's in the bag? What's in the bag?
Let's find out.
We will find out how well this listener knows us. Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Not anymore.
Listeners are just awesome today.
Yeah, this has been a really good group.
Thank you, everybody.
And we're thankful. We truly are. Ashley, a.k.a. Leslie.
Oh, yes.
She brought us a bag full of stuff.
What's in the bag?
What's in the bag?
Her pretty head. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Way to go, Ashley.
spoiler alert.
Sorry about it. I mean, it's been a while.
I mean, sure, it's been 20 years, but who cares?
Still like, so good. Even if you know, it's so good.
That's a fun movie.
Daniel Norris has weird taste in movies. That is not a fun movie.
It's not a fun movie. But what is in the bag is really fun.
Oh, tell me. I don't know. You've been holding the bag. You got a bag. Like all the NBA players who signed those extensions. You got a bag, but you wouldn't tell us what's in it.
No, I wanted you guys to marvel at what's in here. Now, I will say that...
This is dragging on longer than Turn the Page.
One... We'll tell you what's in the bag next Wednesday. One of the things that's in the bag is bourbon.
Okay.
So we got some bourbon, which is great. But it's clear to me that you listen to the show.
Ashley knows stuff.
Ashley knows stuff because also in the bag.
Yes. Oh, the Christmas tree cakes. We were talking just the other day. You temptress.
Ashley, he can't have
those. I can't
have
these. He can't have those.
It's not for him. It's for you guys. One of the things that I have successfully given up.
Is snack cakes.
Is snack cakes. I haven't had a snack cake of any kind from a Hostess or Little Debbie or anybody in more than a decade.
Fine.
Yeah. All your
loss.
But those are the jam, man. Those
Cosmic brownies for Shane.
Oh. Lord. I can't have them either, brother.
Well, your loss.
Oh, God. Lawrence is going to house all these snack cakes.
The Peloton does not move fast
enough. Oh, and the oatmeal cream pie.
We were having the conversation about the double-decker oatmeal cream pies and the triple-decker oatmeal cream pies. This is what Nick Saban has for breakfast every morning.
Why is Roll the tide. Lord doing this to me?
He has two Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies and coffee. And to show you how deeply Ashley, a.k.a. Leslie, listens.
Mm-hmm. What do we got?
Uh-oh.
Into the bag he goes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, now we're talking.
Reese's Pumpkins.
Let's go. Those I can have because they're so much healthier than snack cakes.
They're not snack cakes, so you can have them.
I know, but they're really just as horrendous and wonderful.
But they're not technically snack cakes.
That's my genius of my plan.
Yeah. And they've got the right ratio of chocolate to peanut butter.
Lawrence, you've been on this forever. I think it's why the Lord and Mitch Rosen brought us together. Is that the special Reese's items have the better ratio of peanut butter to chocolate. And these are just remarkable. Thank you, Leslie, or Ashley, whatever your name is.
Thank you, Leslie.
Tanny, what was the candy that Ashley brought you last time that you had talked about like 2 years prior?
I'm sorry, I don't remember the name, but there are these really fancy chocolates that you can only really get like on Amazon, or actually they have them in the Amazon store here in the building.
Richter's chocolate?
Richter's Sport? Were they Richter's Sport?
Oh, Richter's Sport, yes.
Yes, Richter's Sport.
Leslie listens.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, and just so whether we're talking to everyone here in the room or you that's driving in your car or finishing up work, it is not a prerequisite to bring us gifts.
But we don't dislike it. I'm sorry, did I add that too fast?
You did.
Okay.
But it's okay.
All right.
I mean, we don't that's true. What you said is a true statement.
But it was so
But
was
I don't
yours.
Want, like, you know, when we show up at the Brat Stop in a couple of weeks, I don't want people to think that admission is.
Oh.
You know, giving us gifts.
Oh, no, this bag. Treats. This bag ripped open accidentally.
Just magically opened it, did it?
It's too bad. It must have come ripped. Oh, no. One of the individual Reese's pumpkins has opened. No.
And it's not a snack cake.
Oh, that's too bad.
Be careful, dude.
It's so close to my mouth.
Lawrence, if someone brings me a brand new Harley to the Brat Stop, I'm going to be so pissed. Don't bring me a new Harley to the Brat Stop.
See, I learned this.
That would suck.
I learned this
me.
As a producer for McNeil and Boers back in the day. One time, McNeil was talking about, I like to crunch up a Butterfinger and put it in my
ice cream?
Yeah, it was his ice cream. I think it was Cherry Garcia or whatever kind of Ben and Jerry's that it was. And he mentioned he liked it. And literally 2 days later, a case of Butterfingers arrived. And I was like, oh my God.
You were like, the power of radio.
The power of the brand.
The power of radio compels you.
So
the power of radio compels you.
The last temptation of the score. I would just like to say that I enjoy money. Good American money.
Greenbacks.
It's incredible how many things you can get with it.
That's a wrap.
By the way, congrats, Shane, on your parlock last night for the Bulls game. I believe not a single item on your parlock hit. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I never said I was a pro. But no, not a single one.
Not a single one.
Five-leg parlay.
So if you faded Shane's five-leg parlock entirely.
You crushed it. Yeah, you're loaded. Yeah,
that
yeah.
is going to become methodology.
Yeah, that was a parlay. That wasn't a parlock.
Oh!
Yeah, I forgot to say
it's
that.
So hard to tell.
Yeah, parlock tomorrow.
What about the Matlock?
The Matlock hit. The Nikola Vucevic for first basket, but you have to also play first basket for the Bulls.
Yeah, because the Pelicans scored first.
Right. But
and when he scored, I was like, that's Spiegel. He's smart.
Yeah, man. And I played two units on first basket and one unit on first basket for the Bulls, so I made all my money back plus a little bit more. So I'm clean, nice. And I'll be back with you for a Matlock and either a parlay or parlock from Shane.
I got a parlock tomorrow.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's already in.
All right, good. Is it Bears related?
Nope.
All right.
No, it's Bulls related.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, hopefully you can see it.
By the way, Tanny mentioned it earlier. Tomorrow is day one of the World Series, and Bob Costas will join us on this show to contextualize Dodgers versus Yankees.
We thank everyone who made it out here for the show today, and also everyone who listened, where no matter where you are. La Villa was great. We appreciate them for feeding everyone who came through. Connor and Rich put us on the Twitch stream and kept us on the air. We thank them so much for their hard work because they don't get a lot of love, and they deserve it. For Tanny, for Shane, for Speegs, I'm Lawrence. Thanks so much for listening to the show and all the love that you show us. We will try to repay that in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
I mean, that is peak entertainment aura.